So this week is Parshas Tzav. God tells Moshe, Kaches Aaron ves Bonov, take Aaron and his children and anoint them and take them through the rituals that they need to go through in order to become priests, Kohanim. So the Medrash says, Rabbi Yehuda, there's a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yehuda says, tshuva does half, and tefillah does the rest. And he brings the story of Cain. It's a Medrash in Bereishis. It says that Cain settled in the land of Nod. We should bear its Nod. So the Medrash says, "Vayetze Cain." Cain went out after God had spoken to Cain. It says Cain went out. So where did he go out from? The Medrash wants to know. So the Medrash says that he came out from God with a with a kind of slick action, you know, he slithered out, that he'd shown some contrition. First he said, Ashayma Ochi Anochi, am I my brother's keeper? And then he felt like his sin was too great to bear. And then God gives him a reprieve. Instead of punishing him with death, God puts this sign on his forehead so that nobody should touch him. And Cain goes and lives in the land of Nod. So, Vayetze Cain, Cain goes out, means it's like somebody who they got a procedural not guilty and they leave the court, and inside they know they're really guilty and they got off on some kind of a technicality. So when they walk out of court, they're leaving and there's something less than wholesome. And this is the feeling, the Medrash says, this is the feeling that we get when it says Vayetze Cain. And Cain goes out from God, and what are you going out from? What's the going out? So there's different pshatim. One says he is going out in simcha. It's to give a simcha teitzeu, you know, that simcha is. So the Medrash reports that when Cain leaves God, he encounters Adam, Adam Arishon. Adam says to him, Malnase bedinach, what happened to you in judgment, in court? What happened in court? So Cain, who's just killed his brother, right? He says, Osisi tshuva v'nispasarti. I repented, and I reached a compromise with God. Instead of being put to death, you know, I've gone into exile or whatever. Instead of getting tit for tat, instead of getting the death penalty, I showed contrition, and so I've part of my sentence has been reduced. The Medrash says, "Kivin Shishoma Adam Arishon Kach." When Adam Arishon heard this, Hischil to Peach Alponov, he started to patch himself on the face. He started to like hit himself on the face. Oh my. This tshuva is so great. I didn't know tshuva is so great. So when Adam realizes that tshuva, that repentance, is so great that even after murdering his brother in cold blood or hot blood, whatever, you know, and denying it and pretending my brother's keeper, and you know, all that stuff that Cain had done, but because he'd shown contrition, and that was the chelik of teshuva, is to be, to have charoto, to have some, to regret or whatever. that it had reduced the sentence. So think of how great teshuva can be. And Adam hadn't done teshuva for eating from the tree of knowledge. And he said, so great is teshuva, mizmor shel yom haShabbos tov lahodos. And he sings the song of Shabbos, which begins, tov lahodos. It is good, and now we can translate lahodos to give thanks. It's also, it's good to confess, to be moida, to tell the truth. So, and Reb Levi says that this mizmor of Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, this is Odom Arishon composed this. So, the Ne'ois Desha, the Medrash goes on to discuss, you know, there's difference of opinion, whether davening does half and tshuva does the rest, or tshuva does half and davening does the rest. And the Ne'ois Desha asks, what's this Medrash got to do with this Kaches Arin Vesbonov? God tells Moshe to take Aaron and his children. What's it got to do with this? So, the idea is that Aaron never really does teshuva for... He never really does tshuva for worshipping the gold calf, for making the gold calf. So the implication, the Medrash is that Moshe prayed and only two of, really all of Aaron's children should have died, but only two, not of an Aviu. That's one reading of the Medrash, that Moshe takes kaches Aaron, take Aaron and his children, kach with words in Davin. So davening sort of reduces half the sentence, and so Aaron is punished, only two of his children. That's one reading. But you know, Aaron doesn't do tshuva at all. We don't find that Aaron really addresses. Aaron, the Ne'ois Desha says, Aaron is a little bit like Adam. Adam doesn't do tshuva. He doesn't repent for eating the tree of knowledge. And Aaron doesn't really repent for making the gold calf. We never find that he confesses. It's very interesting. And you know, we've come through this in a cycle, really, in the last 6 weeks or so. The Ne'ois Desha, the son of the Ishbitzer, keeps coming back to the story of the making of the golden calf and Aaron's role in it, and how really Aaron is expressing the desire of the Jewish people, and within that desire, which is expressed as the desire for these gods and these pagan and this gold calf, but that deep down there's a much more profound, much deeper desire to connect with God. And that we've talked about in previous weeks, how really God nods his head and says, yes, this is really what I needed you to ask for, maybe in a different way, but you were asking me to be on earth among you. It's okay. So we were given the Migdash, the Mishkan, the tabernacle, and then we also needed someone to elevate us. And this is what Aaron's job was. And so, as history, as we go through the wilderness, and we progress and we evolve, the fact that we had wanted to worship the golden calf, and that Aaron had been the instrument that we picked, it all worked itself out. But again, how come Aaron doesn't do teshuva? So the Ne'ois Desha brings, he says, this is what this Medrash is really dealing with. How come Adam didn't do teshuva? And he's got this new reading of this Medrash, this famous Medrash of the encounter between Adam and Cain, which is usually, this Medrash is usually pounced on as in a Musa movement kind of way. You see, the ethical thing is to do tshuva, and had Adam done tshuva, just think what he might have been able to fix. And he, even Cain, that murderer, managed to, you know, achieve something that Adam wasn't given to achieve, and so forth. I mean, that's the reading, the standard reading. But Ishbitz, of course, has a different look. He says like this: when Adam encountered Cain, Adam knew what Cain had done, and he knew that Cain was Vayetze Cain. You know, Cain is going to Das Elyon. He's very happy that he's gotten off on a technicality. He's managed to, you know, reduce his sentence from death to exile and so forth. So Adam says to himself, how come I didn't have this desire to do tshuva? How come I didn't confess? How come, you know, like... And instead of blaming himself, he says, you know what it must mean? It must mean I didn't sin. That's what it must mean. Why? How come God puts into this murderer Cain a drop, a soupçon of contrition, and in me not? It must mean that God is going to work things out with me to show that I never did an avera. And this, you know, this follows the track of Ishbitz teaching that Adam never ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that in fact that he obeyed God, right? Because God said, Mikol etz gan ochol toichol, from every tree in the garden you should surely eat, and from the tree of knowledge of good. Vera and bad, don't eat of it. So Adam knew that he could feel. This was his interpretation. You know why God hasn't given me a hera tshuva? You know why nowhere inside me is there even a desire to be like my son and do tshuva? And you know why? Because I never sinned, that's why. And right now, God needs me to have sinned, so I've sinned. But I know that in the future, God is going to unravel history and show that I never ate from the tree of knowledge of evil. I only ate from the tree of knowledge of good. So the mizmor shir leyom haShabbos is the mizmor of la'osid lovoy. It's the mizmor of the future, of the world to come. Because Shabbos is me'ein olam habok. Shabbos, a little taste of the world to come. And in the world to come, Adam knew that he would be vindicated. In the world to come, God would show that Adam never ate from the tree of knowledge of evil. So that was his simcha. His simcha wasn't, oh, you see, Cain did tshuva, and you see what he came off, he got half off. He got 50% discount. No. Adam's joy is at thinking to himself, how come God didn't do this discount for me? Because he's going to give me 100% discount. Because he's going to show I never did the Avera. So the Ishbitz says that's what's happening with Aaron. That's what's happening with Aaron. The reason Aaron doesn't do tshuva for the Maaseh Egel is because it's never an Avera. It's never a sin. It's an expression of the deepest desire inside the Jewish people. It's not an avera. And yeah, at the time, God needs Aaron to have sinned, and God needs to, you know, go through this expiation of the guilt and the Parat Duma and the death of Nadav and Avihu, and all the things that are associated with the expiation of the sin of the golden calf. But you know why Aaron never does tshuva? Because it's never a sin, and that's the connection. And kach es Aaron, when God says to Moshe, kach es Aaron, take Aaron, and we interpret kach oisei bedvorim, take him with the words, the Ishbitz says that's what God wanted Moshe to explain to Aaron. You know why you don't have a hera tshuva. You know why you don't feel guilty and all this contrition. You know why. Don't feel bad about it. Forget it. Feel good about it. if you really had done an Avera, God would give you the gift of a Heretshuva. God would put somewhere inside you the desire to repent and confess and so forth. The fact that God isn't, you're not feeling that, is not because you're a bad person. Yeah, just to take this little Torah of the Nais Deshen and to put it into context, it's hard. It's hard. I don't know anywhere in Yiddishkeit where such a thing could be said, that the reason a person does not have a Heret Shuvah is because he never did an Aveir. The fact that a person doesn't, you know, want to repent is because that thing for him is not a sin. And for those people who do repent and they're banging and clapping and, you know, knocking and self-flagellating, yeah, it's because they did a sin. Sure they did. Yeah. It's an amazing gift. I mean, it's radical. It's radical. So, the problem for Adam, we're told that Adam and Chava were arumim v'lo yisboishoshu. Adam and Chava are naked and they have no shame. And then, after they've eaten from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they feel naked. And God says to them, who told you you're naked? You've eaten from the tree of knowledge. So there's something about feeling naked that explains the exile of Das. The feeling of being naked and having to hide, vayischabu, that they hid, that their nakedness made them want to hide. In there is the secret of the exile of Das, which we end up in Mitzrayim, we end up in Egypt, and then after 130 years, the birth of Moshe, mirroring the 130 years that Adam and Chava separated. It says, Vayar ho'om ki boishesh Moshe. You know, at the beginning of the worshipping of the golden calf, it says, and the people saw that Moshe was late. But the word boishesh is the same busha, it's the same shame that Adam and Chava v'lo yisboishoshu. So now, as soon as people think that Moshe is ashamed, they want to make a golden calf. What could possibly shame Moshe? So, lately, I've been thinking about, you know, intimacy. I mean, if there's one thing that destroys intimacy, it's shame. And so, you know, Adam and Chava, as soon as they feel shame, then their intimacy is destroyed, and that's the goddess of Das, because Das is intimacy. Most of us never really get past it. How does one get past shame? Moshe got past it. The Torah tells us that Aaron and Miriam, they spoke about Moshe, and they said, have you seen? He's not being intimate with his wife Zipporah. Just because he's a prophet, hasn't God spoken to us as well? We're prophets, we're married. And God says to Moshe, to Aaron and Miriam, you have no idea who Moshe is. When I speak to you, your prophecy is imagery. That's not what Moshe's prophecy is. With Moshe, I'm truly intimate. Moshe tells us, ponim beponim diba shem elikimalechem bahar mitoicho esh, face to face, God spoke to you on the mountain out of the fire. It says ponim beponim. And then at the end of the Torah, it says v'leikam novi oibisro kemoshe asher do elikim ponim el ponim. So what's the difference between ponim beponim? Ponim beponim, you could read pnim befnim, inside to inside. So God is intimate with us inside to inside, whereas with Moshe, it's ponim el ponim, face to face. There's intimacy of parents and children and siblings, which is pnim befnim, ponim beponim. We know each other so well that, you know, we can be intimate, but there's no risk. Then there's ponim el ponim, that is two separate people being intimate with one another. And the el, like, is the in-between. So real intimacy is not the intimacy of parents and children or siblings. The real intimacy is when you meet a stranger and you are able to be intimate with that person. So Moshe Rabbeinu is the first person who is able to be intimate. That's the fixing, that's the tikkun of das. After 130 years, that was destroyed when Adam and Chava did what they did. And we know that it was their shame. So here we come back, that obviously the fixing of shame, which destroys intimacy, is there the secret in Moshe. Now when Aaron and Miriam talk about Moshe, immediately the Torah tells us, "V'ish Moshe onav mikol Adam." Moshe is more humble than any person that walks the face of the earth. And that's not just an aside, it's not just parenthetical. It's the explanation, it's the rebuttal of what Aaron and Miriam are still stuck in that shame that we all feel, which is sort of either natural or, you know, some of us who are not healthy have like toxic levels of shame. What could be in Moshe that negates all that shame, which allows the fixing of das and allows true intimacy? We're told Yisrael brings Tzipora back to Moshe achas shilucheho. We can read achas shilucheho as after he sent her away, and there's a medrash that he gave her a get and divorced her. But you know, Moshe is the secret of intimacy. So Moshe didn't send Tzipora away. And it doesn't matter how far away she was from him, in distance, in time, in, you know, in miles, in events, before Yetzias Mitzrayim, after Yetzias Mitzrayim, before Mechemes Amalek, after Mechemes Amalek, before Matan Torah, after, doesn't matter. Moshe was intimate with Tzipora. He never stopped being intimate with Tzipora. He doesn't have to have sex with her to be intimate, because Moshe is the true master of intimacy. He's the Baldas. And Moshe is intimate with God. God says to Moshe, "You stand here with me forever." Moshe is always Ish Elokim, the husband of God. So Aaron and Miriam, when they look at Moshe and they don't see Moshe, you know, having a physical sexual relation with Tzipora, they think to themselves, he's not being intimate with her. So God says, "You don't understand, Moshe, because you're not humble." So what is it about humility that fixes everything? And this is the Torah is giving it, it's all laid out there. Moshe sends her on the shlichus. Didn't send her away. She's his shliach. Moshe knows who he is. It's, you know, it's so simple. It's almost like, I can't be that simple. But to be humble means to know who you are. That's all. You know who you are. If you think about the great people, you know, people said, you know, you had the Yechidus with the Lubavitcher Rebbe. As soon as you walked into the room, you could feel like a complete intimacy with the Rebbe. So the Rebbe's baldas, right? The Rebbe's at this level of intimacy, right? I mean, some people report going into the Dalai Lama and feeling immediately like they're, that, like Yechidus, like Lahavdil. Where does it come from? See, the Rebbe doesn't need to know you to be intimate. He needs to know himself. That's the secret of intimacy. You know yourself. It's the secret of everything. Once you know yourself, and to know yourself, I mean, it's a phrase, but think about what it means. It means to be completely non-judgmental. To be completely 100% accepting. To be completely not in competition with yourself. To be completely non-negative. To not be at war with yourself. To not deny who you are. That means to be humble. And nobody was as good at it as Moshe. And as soon as you think about what it means, then you can understand this is the fixing of... It's fixing of everything. It's the fixing of Adam and Chava. It's the fixing of Golas Mitzrayim. It's the fixing of Das, which is like the center, the focus, the locus of all the Sefirois. It's the meaning of being here now. It's so simple, right? Aaron and Miriam don't have it. This is what we're all trying to get. Moshe has it. So Moshe, there's no barriers to intimacy. Moshe doesn't need to know who I am. Because Moshe knows who he is. When you're in the presence of somebody who knows who they are, then there's no barriers. Time and space and distance, nothing makes any difference. Onav mikol odam, we've said so many times, you know, Rashi says, shofel v'savlon, Shuffle the savlon, lowly and forbearing. And the Shishka Rebbe says, what do you need to be forbearing? Where do you need forbearance? Just know who you are. Right? See, but Moshe Rabbeinu didn't feel like he has to change anything about himself in order to accept himself. See, we live in this world, even in the Jewish world, we're driven by the Muslim movement. You know, even in the Chassidish world, we are just as contaminated with Musa as the Litvaks are with Chassidus, you know, a version of it, right? This idea a person is supposed to be bettering himself, mentioning himself, and working on himself, and so on. I don't hear any of the Rebbes arbeiten zechoyis. I never heard any stories about the Rebbe zechoyis gearbeit. It's all about, you know, self-acceptance. It's really a secret of everything. And Adam and Chava didn't have self-acceptance. Why? Because God shouted at them, Hamin ha'etz, you know, and sets up this reverberation of the self-questioning, the self-doubt, the self-recrimination that just goes on forever, ever and ever, until the end of time. Till the Rabbeinu Shalom is enough, right? We're learning in the Beis Yaakov that's really got our boy, that shout really that sets up, that's really where. And you know, even though we learn that the real question is, how could you really believe that I would hurt you? How could you really believe that I would create you in order to make you stumble, in order to punish you? How could you believe such a thing about me? That's the true meaning of Hamin ha'etz. Not have you eaten from the tree? Of course you've eaten, I know you've eaten. But how could you believe that eating from the tree of knowledge would be a bad thing? How could you believe that I would allow you to hurt yourself in this world that I've made? How could you believe that about me? That's God's question. But the shout, Amin ha'etz, sets up this reverberation inside the self. We're never 100% quiet again. But Moshe Rabbeinu, yeah. Moshe Rabbeinu, because none of those voices bother him. Vatera Oiseki Toiv, she sees that he's good. Nismala Habayis Oyer. Oyer is Torah. You can't extinguish the Torah. You can extinguish Kineir Mitzvah V'Toyra Oyer. You can extinguish a mitzvah because it's a candle. You walk too fast with it and it blows out. But Torah you can't extinguish. Doesn't matter even if you run, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu is at that level of Torah Oyer. And he just sees himself for who he is, and he knows himself. And that enables him just to be open to another person, to the discovery of another person, and open to let someone discover him. And what is intimacy, right? Mamsh ready to let somebody discover who you are. Not just the bits that you're okay with. Intimacy means that you're open to letting somebody see who you are. All of you. To do that, you have to be 100% okay with all of you. That's the meaning of Onav Mikol Adam. Moshe Rabbeinu was 100% okay with all of him. And that requires tremendous savlonus. Because Moshe could see so many faults in himself, but he didn't feel like it was his job to fix. He felt that it was his job to bear. Even though he felt like Mamash, he's the lowest person, he's the least talented, he's the least good, he's the least. He was a savlon. Said, Rabbi Hashem, this is how you made me? Okay, that's how you made me. I'm not going to hide it. He was ready, he was available to be seen. Moshe, what you saw is what you got. And so he was capable of intimacy, and he was intimate with God and with Tzipora, his wife, and there was never any break. Moshe, Miriam and Aaron, they couldn't see that. We can't see that. I bless you and me that we be able to accept ourselves at that level of true humility, and we become capable of intimacy, being open to see the other and to be seen, to meet and to be met, and to love and to be loved. Have a beautiful Pesach.